Ryan Callahan, 24/7, GoVols 24/7. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Like you go to the fair and you win a prize and you get this big spinning wheel that lands on the prize you get. I actually made one of those last night to bring in today, but it's which topic do I want to ask Ryan first? Is it Kevin Steele? Is it Jeremy Pruitt? Is it the mass exodus, including yesterday the announcement, no surprise to the NFL help me out, Brandon Johnson, right? And then the investigation, paintball gate I've learned about. So what the hell's going on over there?
What's not going on, right?
Lord. Bring me up to date on this paintball gate thing.
Pokey didn't believe me when I told him there was a paintball game at maybe at the heart of this NCAA investigation, or self-investigation, yeah. I should say.
Well, one thing to clarify on this report from the Knoxville News Sentinel on, it's kind of a every several months thing they do, checking in on what NCAA violations have been reported, and they came back with a report with touching on that and several other things that came about. So I don't think that's really at the heart of what's being talked about. We'll see if there's any relation there, but yeah, Tennessee did have a paintball game involving it was kind of just a recruiting event. You've seen more and more of those over the years, and they had sort of a summer or spring paintball day where they had a number of top targets in town and had that on the football practice field. And so they had a lot of guys in for that, and that's, yeah, there's a violation involved in that, so that's the deal there. So that's it's something we knew about at the time. It wasn't a secret or anything. There were just some things that were not according to code by the NCAA.
The NCAA rules book, the Article 12, Section 9, I'm looking at it right now. Paintball will not be used in recruiting.
No unsanctioned paintball games involving potential recruits. Ryan,
for everything, man.
Ryan, we had heard from some people in Knoxville that, you know, based on the nature of this whole investigation and whatever the independent people have found, I heard the term, quote, inevitable that Jeremy Pruitt gets terminated. Are you hearing anything along those lines? Do you expect an announcement of that sort to happen either today or within the next few days?
Well, two things. I wouldn't want to say anything about the timing of this, because as I've been reminded by people throughout this whole process, you just don't know with an investigation. They're so thorough with all this. So many things can happen when you have an interview. We do know that lawyers talked with Jeremy Pruitt yesterday, and that was the first time they had spoken with him during this investigation. It sounds like Brian Niedermeyer also talked with them on Wednesday. So we know that Niedermeyer's name came up very early in this. His name was first connected to this when this story sort of broke on the day of the Texas A&M game last month. So we know he's at least involved in this to some degree, or his name has come up enough that it makes sense that he would be one of the people they talk to toward the end. So it certainly suggests that they would be coming toward a conclusion, but there are so many things that could have happened. Yesterday during that meeting with Jeremy Pruitt, they might need to talk to him more than one day. There are things that if anything came up during their conversation with Jeremy Pruitt, they might need to go back and investigate more. So as I've been reminded by some people, there are multiple possibilities for why this might not necessarily be ending today or tomorrow. So we'll see about that. But it's you hear everything about an investigation like this. I've certainly talked with people who think Jeremy Pruitt is done at Tennessee, but you also hear from people close to it that it's not a sure thing, that it's not necessarily done. So I wouldn't just jump to that conclusion, but I do think it's serious enough that I would not rule out the possibility Tennessee makes a coaching change as a result of this. So I think that's very much on the table. And anyone who looked at the Kevin Steele hiring earlier this week and says that's a sign Jeremy Pruitt's safe, I think you're probably reading something into that Tennessee did not intend. You know, even though that was a hire Jeremy Pruitt wanted, I think he's very much still not safe just yet.
My initial reaction when I heard of the Kevin Steele hire, of course, he was a finalist for when a former hired Pruitt, you know, 3 years ago, is interim coach. My the very first thing I thought, Kevin Steele, interim head coach. And why? I mean, he had other opportunities too to go be, you know, something, you know, defensive coordinator. Hell, he's been defensive coordinator at half the SEC already. So I just thought, man, yeah, I know they're friends, but that smacked of interim head coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know Jeremy Pruitt wanted that hire. It makes sense. If he were to survive, you know, he could be inside linebackers coach. It sounds like, you know, Brian Niedermeyer's contract will be allowed to expire and he won't be retained. So that would be a natural opening for him. You know, if Derek Ansley were to leave, he could be defensive coordinator. You've got multiple options there with a guy like that. But you're right. The other scenario where he makes complete sense is interim coach if that were to be necessary, and obviously he just did that at Auburn for a little while. So, I don't know what the goal there was. I don't know that Tennessee necessarily knew exactly what would happen there. You know, it's possible that they brought him in thinking he was a guy who could fit and make sense no matter how this thing goes. So that's one of the scenarios, though. I think you're right. That would at least make sense. It was kind of explained well by John Adams in a column in the Knoxville News Sentinel a couple of days ago that, you know, in a situation like this, there might be a reason to say that, you know, if there is a coaching transition, that you're turning it over to someone who was not involved in this at all. And obviously Kevin Steele would give you that fresh that fresh blood, so to speak, that was not involved in any possible violations that would have occurred. So he would make a lot of sense as an interim coach. But you know, we'll see. I don't know if that's what Tennessee has in mind, but that's one reason that, yeah, I don't think you can assume that the Kevin Steele hiring means Jeremy Pruitt is safe.
At Ryan Callahan 24/7, Go Vols 24/7 on Twitter. I misspoke earlier. Brandon Johnson entered the transfer portal going to Central Florida. It was, and no surprise, Josh Palmer announcing going to the NFL. Not a surprise there. But what should we make out now? Brandon Johnson to Central Florida and Wanye Morris into the portal. The 10th scholarship portal entry for the Vols since December 1st. And another observation, is this rats jumping off the ship? I mean, but what is this?
Well, so a lot of those players, I would not say were a huge deal. And in some cases, you know, there have been a few that have hurt. I think DeAndre Johnson really hurts. Wanye Moore certainly is the biggest name that's come out so far. And there are rumors of others. You know, we've certainly heard talk that others could be following, which I think makes sense given the uncertainty right now. The uncertainty certainly could be feeding into this. But then you've got guys like Austin Pope, you know, who's a fifth-year senior tight end, and you would think Tennessee still could use him, but maybe there's just a thought that he just wants to go somewhere where they use the tight end a little bit more in the passing game or something like that. So there are some things like that might not be simply because of what's going on or because of Jeremy Pruitt or anything like that. It might just be looking for a better football fit. So there are some cases where it's not directly related, but yeah, the numbers are pretty high to have that many guys in the transfer portal. It's the only thing you can say about that is it's a good year to have that because this is a year where the 2020 seniors who are choosing to come back, taking advantage of that free year of eligibility, they don't count toward the 85 scholarship limit in 2021. So you do have a chance to go over the 85 limit this year with the addition of your signing class. And that should give Tennessee plenty of numbers to sort of absorb this a little bit and be okay. But you're losing some real talent. That's the problem here. No matter who the coach is in 2021, you need to have the young guys like Wanye Moore still on the roster so that you can tap into that potential. You know, maybe Wanye Moore hasn't reached his ceiling yet, but you want him to try to do it at Tennessee. You don't want those guys going to major programs. You know, we're hearing Oklahoma is one of the schools involved with him, so you know, those guys go to some major programs and you start losing out on those five stars and top 100 players you got in the last couple of years. It's going to just add to the difficulty of getting Tennessee back where it wants to be for whoever is the coach.
Ryan Callahan is our guest. And Ryan, all this has to be just really disappointed for the UT fans because there was so much momentum heading into this year, obviously before COVID and all that, you know, with the way they finished last year and getting the bowl win and all that. And for to go from there to where we are now has to be a huge disappointment in Knoxville.
Absolutely. I still remember talking with people right before the SEC schedule came out, and I remember telling some people, this 10-game SEC schedule is really going to make things harder for Jeremy Pruitt. I thought what looked like a team that was capable of going 8-4 or 7-5 at the very least with a 12-game schedule was going to have 5-5 written all over it with a 10-game SEC schedule, and I had no idea that it could get to 3-7, obviously, but it's not shocking in a way because the SEC is just such a meat grinder. And then you throw this on top of it. It's just amazing how much things have changed since the start of all that. But I thought the perception of a 5-5 season would make it really tough and make it and put Jeremy Pruitt on the hot seat going into 2021. It wouldn't necessarily be a sign that they were bad, but it would look worse than it was. And here we are with a 3-7 season that had fans ready to fire him for performance at the end of in some cases at the end of the season. And now you throw in this investigation on top of that, that if anything happens this year, it's going to be because of that. It's just been a wild ride, and fans are, I think, looking around saying, how did they get to this point this quickly? What on earth? And why? Why does this keep happening to Tennessee? It's just amazing.
We say only in 2020, only in 2021 now. Tuesday night, the game to make up the postponed games was postponed. And in theory, tomorrow night, Tennessee Vanderbilt at 5 o'clock Nashville time. Tennessee needs to get out there and play. Who knows if Vandy wasn't ready Tuesday, why are they ready tomorrow? Or Tennessee or whoever. But you look at what Alabama's doing and everything, but I tell you what, Tennessee just looks like the best team. They can beat you in so many different ways.
Yeah, and their one loss so far obviously was a game where they just were not shooting very well, just clearly wasn't their night, and it looks like they're going to be the type of team that's going to have you're going to be hard pressed to beat them no matter who it is in the SEC. It's going to be a tough game against them, even for some of the other top competition for them. So they're shaping up well, even though they've had some more bumps in the road recently. Still a team that looks very good and about what we thought it was. It's a very deep team. It's not the most, it's not the highest scoring team. They're going to have to find ways to create some offense when they're not shooting at their best. But it's a team that can defend really well. Has so much depth. It's the deepest Tennessee team I can ever remember seeing. They're really good. And they need to get back out there and play. This will be a challenge for everybody this year at some point, I'm sure. But if they have back-to-back games scrapped like this, and we'll see if they can get this Vanderbilt game off tomorrow without a hitch. But you do wonder about, with Tuesday being canceled, can they really play just 4 days later with the same team? So it's in question at least. But so far they say game on. So we'll see if that can hold. But they do need to play and continue to improve, because it's a team I'm sure Rick Barnes would tell you is not a finished product at all, and they've got a long way to go. But yeah, even with that, they're looking like a team that's going to have a chance to win the SEC.
All right, Ryan, quit lollygagging with us on the radio. Get back to work. There's 14 stories over there to follow, okay?
There's something going on.
Put your hand over your eyes and throw at the dartboard, wherever it lands, cover that story today.
You can spin my wheel.
Or spin the wheel, yeah.
Ryan, hey, thank you, man.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
See you, buddy.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right.